Well, I've never really thought that I'm that bothered about skincare products and makeup. That is, until I went to check out what I had in the bathroom cupboard. And I discovered that I have more than my fair share of products that I've collected over time. Different types of moisturisers and shampoos. The half-used bottles are testament to the fact that I like to buy these products, use them a few times, and then invariably forget about them. My husband calls them my lotions and potions, and I get a certain amount of good-natured teasing when I'm preparing to go on holiday. The suitcase won't close due to my overstuffed toilet bag. And I've never really thought that I'm that bothered about the way I look either, trying to pass off any more serious interest in clothes and my appearance with a casual, I don't really care sort of attitude. But who am I trying to kid? If I'm really honest with myself, I do care. I care how I look. I care about the clothes I choose and feel comfortable in. I like to see what the season's new fashions are. And I like to receive compliments when it works for me. And I'm guessing that I'm not the only one. Because apparently, according to a book, Becoming You by Anna Simmons, the statistics are that 98% of women are unhappy with their bodies. 70% believe their bodies stop them having the life they want. 42% are jealous of good-looking women friends. 58% are jealous of women their age who look younger. And 36% envy all younger women. 50% think climbing the career ladder would be easier if they were better looking. 8 out of 10 women feel that celebrity culture has distorted men's perceptions of them. And if they had a better body, 12% would change partner. These are staggering statistics, but they don't stop there. 70% of women feel depressed, guilty, and shameful after 3 minutes looking at a fashion magazine. And the average British woman worries about the size and shape of her body every 15 minutes. About a third of women worry about their body every waking minute. Well, for research purposes, I bought a women's magazine yesterday. I was wondering, are these statistics really borne out in our culture? Are we women that preoccupied with our image? Well, having read the magazine, it seems that the answer must be yes. I was certainly drawn in by the articles, and I was attracted by the new fashions, and I caught myself thinking very critically about my own appearance. It's about lifestyle and beauty and looking good. But another major theme jumped out from the pages. How to avert growing old. Do you know there are 14 full-page adverts for creams and treatments that say they will reduce the signs of ageing? Two of my favourites were Youth Code and Youth Activating Concentrate, both about reawakening skin's youthfulness. Or the secret of youthful skin revealed drop by drop. The pictures are great. They give us the idea that these treatments would give us instant results for a flawless skin. Well, here's where I'm at, I'll be honest. I'm approaching 40 in a couple of years' time. But everything out there is screaming at me. Look younger. Don't look your age. Look like these models and celebrities. Here's this cream and that tablet and this injection. You can easily do it. There's even an article in this magazine entitled The Changing Face of 40. And it suggests that in our culture, which the author describes as competitive and survivalist, image is currency and youth is pure, unparalleled gold. There's a growing sense that choosing not to alter oneself is a sign of neglect. Image is currency, and youth is pure and parallel gold. There's a growing sense that choosing not to alter oneself is a sign of neglect. Well, I wonder what you think about that. I do share the article's suspicion that as I age, my peers will look younger, and it is tempting to think that creams and tablets and injections provide the answer to holding on to youth, and all the happiness and success and popularity that's promised with it. After all, the words used in the adverts are so appealing. They promise youth, rested appearance, rejuvenation, radiance, revitalization, suppleness, and it's clinically proven. But do they deliver the happiness, popularity, and success that we crave? Again, I wonder what you think. Well, you might have heard of Halle Berry, a beautiful and successful actress who you'd think had all this happiness and success and popularity. But she says this, "Beauty, let me tell you something. Being thought of as a beautiful woman has spared me nothing in life. No heartache, no trouble. Love has been difficult. Beauty is essentially meaningless, and it is always transitory." Halle Berry has discovered something that the Bible says to be true, that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. It promises so much. It bedazzles us all. We have all at different levels been taken in by these promises. But they deceive and don't last, because charm is deceptive and beauty, if we're honest, is fleeting. The images presented to us that we chase after are unobtainable for most of us. One model wrote about her beauty routine in a Daily Telegraph article just last year. It's quite a long quote, but please bear with me as it makes the point I'm trying to make. She says this, "Since the age of 18, I've been prepared to buy anything that promises to keep my skin looking good. Of course, then, all I could afford was a pot of Nivea cream. But now I've reached a stage in my life where I'll happily spend hours searching for a miracle cream, and money is no object. My favourite place to shop is Harrods because it has a huge selection of brands from all around the world. I spent about £12,000 a year in there on products from La Prairie and Chanel. I don't think they have changed the way I look especially, but they have without doubt helped ensure my skin keeps its youthful glow and suppleness. I have cupboards full of creams now and use nearly all of them every day. Every morning I use La Prairie's Skin Caviar range and set aside an hour and a half each morning to work through all my products, relaxing in the bath and allowing the products to soak in. My favourite is a La Prairie serum with real gold flakes in it. It's known as the facelift in a jar because you can feel it tightening your skin. A small 30ml jar costs £500, which is the most I've ever spent on a product, but I believe it to be good value for money. A pea-sized application 3 times a week means it lasts for at least a year. It's not just creams that burn a deep hole in my pocket. It's also really important to my career to have perfect hair, nails and skin. Therefore, as well as a gym and jacuzzi, I have a hairdresser who comes round once or twice a week to wash my hair and weave in hair extensions. I also have a girl who comes about once a month to give me a manicure and pedicure. Every other day, I change the polish myself, as I don't like chips. I am very lucky as I have a live-in nanny, a driver and a cook, which means I can spend this time on myself without it impacting on the rest of my life. I even follow my routine on holiday, but we usually stay in luxury spa hotels. I always start off with a Moroccan bath and then go on to a facial and manicure before finishing off with an eyebrow wax. These treatments come to about £10,000, but that's what makes me happy. Everybody has their little obsession. I don't do drink or do drugs. I just like to look good." Well, when did you last have time to spend that amount of time and money to compete with these standards of beauty? Is that really attainable? We're also used to be able to say that the camera never lies, but that's not true anymore either. I don't have any research to prove this, but with the advent of digital photography, it must be easy for images of models in magazines to be retouched to show that perfect picture. And of course, that's humanly impossible for us to achieve. These pressures which are put on us and which we put on ourselves can result not only in a low sense of self-worth, but can lead to depression and in some cases to self-harm and eating disorders. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. So, Am I saying that wanting to look good is wrong and a waste of time? Not at all. As a Christian, I have come to know that God delights in beauty and wants me to take care of this body that he's given me and to take a right pride in my appearance. But I've also come to know a much deeper and sustaining joy that the God of the Bible, who made men and women equally in his image, loves me and you regardless of what we look like, and that he's most concerned about our insides, not our outsides. Why is that? Because it's our insides, our souls, our real selves, that will live on forever, not our outsides. At the back of this magazine, after all the adverts and articles about looking good and staying young, there comes a startling reminder. It's a Marie Curie advert, which says, "You only get one death. Make it as good as it can be." The magazine editors at least do have this insight that after all has been done to preserve us on the outside, death is inevitable in the end and unavoidable, and we need to be prepared for it. Are we prepared? God has stamped eternity in our hearts. Whether or not we are Christians here tonight, we suspect that death is not the end. It's our insides, our souls, that will go on forever, not our outsides. One Christian writer has put it like this: clothes, perfume, makeup, exercise routines, haircuts. These cannot enhance our soul, our conscience, our intellect, or our heart. And yet, we can adorn our real self, the part of us that will go on forever. How is that possible, though, when, if we're honest with ourselves, no matter how lovely we look on the outside, the real us on the inside is so often ugly? For behind the masks that we wear with our family, our friends, our work colleagues and people we meet, we gossip, we're grumpy, selfish, irritable, judgmental, impatient, rude, proud, jealous, deceitful. I'm sure that list is not exhaustive. And I know it because I know my own real self. It's what the Bible describes as falling short of God's glory, of God's standards. You may also have heard it described as sin. The plain truth is that sin is ugly. It is always self-seeking. It has I right in the middle of it. And no matter how we look on the outside, sin's ugliness on the inside cannot be transformed by our own efforts. All the beauty creams in the world only go skin deep. Sin is a barrier between us in our relationships, and it is a barrier between us and God, because it says, "I'm doing all right on my own, thanks, and I don't need you, God," though he made us and the world and everything in it. What we need to transform sin's ugliness is not a facelift. It's something far more radical. It's heart surgery. Well, who could qualify to perform that sort of surgery on us? We certainly can't do it ourselves. The Bible tells us there's only one person in history who can. He was a carpenter and a much respected teacher and prophet in his day. He was crucified for his claims to be God's son, but proved to be so in his death on a cross and in his resurrection to life, Jesus Christ. You see, our inner ugliness, our sin, needs dealing with. God cannot let it go unpunished. And the cost? Our very lives. That's how serious it is. But God, in his mercy, sent Jesus to take the penalty that we deserve for our sins upon himself. Jesus paid the price with his own life so that we wouldn't have to. What a gift. Not only that, but by dying and rising to life again, he proved that our suspicions are right, that there is life after death and we can live forever with God. So how can inner ugliness be made beautiful forever? By trusting in Jesus to take the ugliness away. Those of us who have done so know that we truly experience renewal and rejuvenation, what in the Bible is described as being made new, a new creation, a new birth, when we believe in Jesus. And that although in this life we will still age, we will still get old and experience troubles and outwardly waste away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Here's a final thought to leave you with from the Bible. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in verses 16 to 18 we read, and Christians can say, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. An eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. How beautiful do we want to be? Can we buy that in a pot? This is the most important, most radical beauty treatment that you can ever have, and it will last forever.